enter. 250,000 applied. It's competition time. Who will win?
Everyone, and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 37 and a half. I'm your host, Andy Godoy. Now guys, today's half podcast, we're going to mix things up a little bit more so than normal. Because as you know, with these half shows, what we do things slightly different to the way we do the normal show. Now I'm going to quickly tell you the quick show plan about how today's show is going to go. Now first of all, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I've been up to. Then once I've done that, I'm going to read out a topic from the forum. And then we've got the main topic, which is our audition to be a co-host on the Retro Asylum podcast. Now our first audition is being sent in by Captain Blood 7. Now the reason why we're doing this, guys, is because we want to improve our show. And the only way we can improve is by adding loads of variety. Now, we already have 6 fantastic co-hosts on the show. But I'll be completely honest, doing a show weekly and trying to sound energetic all the time, trying to come out with some fresh point of view while dealing with work, real life, family is really, really tough. So to make it easier on everyone and to get different points of view, we're looking for 2 new hosts. Now, ideally, we would like to get, you know, one girl, one guy to be co-host. But to be honest with you, as long as you're passionate about gaming, retro gaming, and you can carry yourself well in a podcast and tell a story. So, yeah, if you can carry yourself on a podcast, why not give it a go, guys? The way you can do it is record an MP3 between about 10 to 15 minutes. It can just be you telling us a little bit about yourself, how you got into gaming, the first console you had. You got 10 to 15 minutes to sell, you know, how good it would be, basically. And what we'll do, we'll play it on the podcast. Now, how you can send it to us, you can either email it to me in a zip file and compress it, and you can email it to me to andy@retroasylum.com, or you can upload it to one of those uploading sites and then send me the link. And then what I'll do, I'll add it to the next half show, basically. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing these guys, because this is what I want to achieve with this podcast. We can only get better by adding variety. And I think we do this fantastically for the fact that we really get our community involved. We really like our listeners to get involved into the podcast. So if you really want to be a part of the Retro Asylum podcast, why not audition? We need new hosts, basically. We need new blood, and we're looking forward to it, actually. We're looking forward to hearing your retro gaming stories. And I'll tell you what, Captain Blood 7's retro gaming story that he's telling us in this episode is fantastic. And I'm sure you guys are going to love it.
Hello everybody, this is Damien, and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
So anyway, let's start off the show with the typical normal of what we've been up to. Well, since it's just me, what I've been up to. Now, I've been doing quite a bit of retro gaming. Well, I did for a while because my wife went away for a good week, and I was left to my own geeky devices. So first things first, I bought myself a ZX Spectrum Plus 2. Now I was completely ecstatic. I say I was, because it worked fantastically, and then my Spectrum Plus 2 died. Now I want to ask your feedback on this in a little bit, about what I can do to fix it. But let me tell you a story about how I got it. Now this is, it's like a house clearance place where people, you know, get stuff sent in there once they move houses and they don't want it. Now, I normally go into this little shop near where I live because they've got games from time to time. And I went in there and I asked the guy, I went, "Have you got any retro gaming consoles?" And the guy said to me, "Don't know." And I looked to my side and there was a ZX Spectrum for £30. And I went, "How much is that?" And the guy goes, "It's £30. And I was like, do you know if it works? He goes, don't know. And I just thought, I don't really like this guy's attitude, and £30 is £30. As much as I want a ZX Spectrum, I don't want to buy £30 on a Spectrum that won't work. I don't know if I would get my money back from this guy, because he seemed a bit of a really. Now, I ended up going back there a couple of days. Somehow, I got drawn into that shop again. Like, I've always wanted a Spectrum Plus 2 again. Now, so a few days later, I went back in. It was a different guy in the shop. And I said to him, like, do you know if this ZX Spectrum here works? And he goes, yeah. He had tried it. Because he had played it, you know, as a youngster himself, so he gave it a go, and he said it did work. And I thought, well, he seemed a lot nicer, and he did say if it didn't work, I could take it back. I took it home, plugged it in, it came up on the screen, and I got, like, one of my games, Bruce Lee, put it in the cassette player, loaded it up, and then it loaded up, and it was fantastic. And I thought, you know what, I haven't got enough time to play it today, so I'll play it again, you know, in a couple of days when I've got a bit more time. And I put it on a few days later, and then the screen just went blank, and there was no power to the ZX Spectrum. And I was like, no, I could take it back and get my 30 quid back. But I'm just thinking, maybe it's something simple. Maybe it's just the fuse and the plug, or maybe it could be the power pack itself. Maybe I can just sort of like get another one for about 8 or 9 quid on eBay. I'm not too sure. I'm not too good at these sort of thing, guys. So maybe some of you can give me your feedback on this. I mean, it's got no power going into the little red light of the ZX Spectrum Plus 2. So if you guys can think of any other things that I could have a look at, then please let me know. I really want to play my ZX Spectrum Plus 2. You know, it's probably my favorite computer of all time. So yeah, apart from that sad little story, I have been buying a few other little bits and bobs. Now, I also managed to pick up a PS1 from eBay for £6. Now, it didn't have all the cables and everything, but luckily enough, again, I had some of the aerial ports and a joypad at my mum's house, and I don't know why I had them there, because I'm sure when I got rid of my old PlayStation, I sold it with these things. Maybe, I don't know. But I had them there, and it worked fantastically. And I did buy myself a few games. So let me quickly tell you some of the games I bought from the charity shop. I bought Alien Trilogy, and I bought this for about £1 something. And it's a great shooter for its time. It's probably one of the best games that came out on the PlayStation on its early days. It's a great little game. It's fantastic. Graphics are pretty nice, like I said, for its time. But the gameplay is still there. The only thing I find hard is playing the game with just the joypad or the, you know, D-pad. I'm used to playing games like now with two analogs, and it just didn't quite feel the same. But yeah, it's a great game nevertheless, especially for the price I paid for it. The other game I bought myself was Music, and I got that game from a charity shop for about £1.50. It's made by Codemasters, so if you like sort of doing music, it's a great game. I really used to play this back in the days. What else did I get from the charity shop? SmackDown 2, Know Your Role. It's one of my favourite wrestling games. Got a nice sort of selection of roster there. Loads of different moves. Create a character. And then I bought a few other games on eBay, like Gran Turismo for about £2. I bought Spider-Man. I bought Tomb Raider. And what I love about the PS1 is that the games are relatively cheap. You know, you can pick them up, like in charity shops, just for £1 or £2. You can buy them on eBay for £1 or £2. But there are a few games that I do want to add to my collection. The games that I used to have, and the games that I would like to get, you know, if I go to a car boot sale, or maybe I might get them on eBay, like Alien Resurrection. It has to be probably the best 3D shoot 'em up game on the PS1. Graphics are almost PlayStation 2 quality. It's amazing. I don't think it got the attention it deserved. It's a great game with great atmosphere. Now, I also want to get the Midway arcade pack, and that had some great games. That had 720, Smash TV, Rampage, Clax, and what's the other one I want to get? I want to get Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver, Bubble Collection, which has also got Rainbow Islands. So it's a great system, and I'm glad I got it again for a nice cheap price. And yeah, I'm going to look for stuff like this at a car boot sale. And speaking of car boot sale, guys, Me and the guys from the Retro Asylum community and the forum, we were actually going to go to a car boot sale this Sunday. So we've got a £20 challenge. So there's a few of us going. And the whole thing is, we've got a little competition. Who can get the most and best retro gaming stuff with £20? Now, we will talk about this on the next main episode, because we're recording it probably on Monday, Tuesday, and that will be out the following Friday. So, really looking forward to this car boot sale.
Hello, Mr. Sid here. If you're after some retro gaming goodness, then you have come to the right place. From the Speccy to the Sega Master System, Capcom to Codemasters, and Space Invaders to Space Harrier, it's all covered in the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
So yeah, let's move on to the topic of the forum. Now, I put up a thread on the forum, and the thread was, what was your favourite arcade gaming company? And I chose a different sort of selection of things there that people could choose. So the choice and poll I put up were Sega, Capcom, Taito, Atari, IRM, Namco, and other. But yeah, we had a nice response to this. Let me quickly tell you what I put and what I chose. I basically chose Sega. And the reason why I chose Sega, I put, was because it had loads of my fave childhood experiences with them. Games like Golden Axe, Outrun, Afterburner, and Shinobi. And what I liked about that, it had many styles of gameplay. And the games had amazing graphics and some really beautiful music. Some of the catchiest I've actually ever heard. Alright, so what else did we have? We had Dirt Dig Dugler. He chose Nintendo. I think he had chose games like Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, Popeye, Pengu. And who else have we got here? Uniforex. He put Taito for his number one because he got Space Invaders, Phoenix, Rainbow Island, Bubble Bubble. So we had a nice reply to this. Oh yeah, we got Midway by Mr. Sid. He chose Midway because games like Narc, Mortal Kombat, Rampage, Spy Hunter. And again, you know, we had some fantastic choices on some amazing machines. But the overall winner was Sega. And Sega had 43%. Second place was Namco with 21%. And in joint third place was Capcom and Taito. Now, me and Glenn, we recorded an episode of the podcast that just, my computer crashed and I lost it, which is a real shame because we got into some really interesting conversations. And one of the conversations we got into was like how good Sega were, because I mentioned games like Golden Axe, Outrun, Afterburner, Shinobi, and Glenn started choosing games like Sega Rally. He chose games like Daytona USA. And it just goes to show how much of a force Sega were in the arcades and how much of a lifespan they actually had in the arcades until, sadly, arcades started to decline. Sega were an amazing force to be reckoned with in the arcades. So yeah, what I hope to do is in every podcast now is read out a topic from the forum, because I want to get you guys' feedback. It's nice and interesting reading out like what you guys have put. So anyway, let's move on to the main topic of the podcast, which is the Retro Asylum co-host audition. Now, like I said, our first audition is Captain Blood 7, and he has done an amazing audition. You know, I really liked hearing his story, and I implore you guys to basically please audition for this. You know, I want to find out, you know, how you guys got into gaming. I want to find out, you know, what your favorite games are. And we've got a spot for two co-hosts. So what we are going to do, we're going to choose the best. We're going to do a poll on them. And then the community, the team, we're going to vote for them. And then that's how we're going to choose our two winners, basically. So like I said, guys, feel free to give it a go. Now, I'm going to play you Captain Blood 7's audition. And it's absolutely fantastic, guys. Sit back and enjoy.
So, hello everybody. I'm Captain Blood 7, and this is my audition for one of the co-host spots on the Retro Asylum podcast. I'm a relatively new member of the Retro Asylum community. I think I joined the forum mid February, I think it was now. So, I mean, I've dabbled with a few different approaches to this audition. I thought about doing a little guide on finding retro consoles and games, but I mean, if you're a regular on the forum, you already know that I really do hunt around a multitude of different places to try and seek out retro gaming bargains. But I mean, that didn't really feel right to do at this stage. Maybe it's something I may get a chance to do further down the line, or maybe I'll even post up a top tips guide section on the forum. I mean, what really did feel like the right option was to really introduce listeners to how I got into gaming and the different systems I've had down the years, you know, the ones I've had the pleasure of owning and the ones, you know, maybe a friend of mine had my brother that I got to actually play on. I mean, for me, my gaming habit, or call it an addiction if you like, really began at a pretty young age, to be honest with you. And it was kind of thanks to my mum. I mean, originally my mum lived in London, and from even before I was born, she would travel down to Southend-on-Sea at the weekends with my nan and my brother, and they'd stay in a hotel on the seafront. I mean, she was a bit partial to a spot of bingo and a flutter on the fruit machines. So when she met and married my dad, who happened to live in Southend, I think I was always destined really to grow up in the arcades. I mean, again, due to my mother, I mean, she actually became friends with a family that owned one of the more old-school type arcades on Southend Seafront. I mean, it was retro even in the 80s. It was had one of these old-style bingo machines. They still had the arcade attendants that used to walk around the arcades with satchels full of change, you know, giving people change there. And then it was kind of before these new school machines came in that it seems to give you change these days. So while she was playing bingo or she was on the fruit machine, she'd give me and my brother a pound in 10p's, which would keep us busy for quite a while, to be honest. And as the attendants knew my brother and I, they'd keep an eye on us to make sure we were safe in the arcade. And the world was probably a safer place back then, to be honest, than it is now. I mean, I certainly wouldn't allow my 8-year-old to kind of walk freely around an arcade and play games, but it's the world we live in now, I guess. So, I mean, my earliest memories about gaming are really having to stand on a box to be able to play the games, because I was too short to reach the joystick or even see the screen, I guess. So, I mean, the kind of games that I remember playing in this particular arcade were really kind of classics. There were things like Spy Hunter, Bank Panic, Pac-Man, Space Invaders, the original Star Wars arcade game, Track and Field, and the karate game, whose name currently escapes me, but it's the one where you kind of fought on a log across a deep kind of chasm and you only had the joysticks for control. No buttons, but I'm sure most of you are shouting the name at me now, but for the moment I can't actually remember what the name is. And it was only once I'd gotten a little bit older that I was then allowed to venture to some of the surrounding arcades, and that's where I found some of the newer machines like, you know, Space Harrier or Return of the Jedi or APB or, you know, other classics like that. And it's kind of at this point where my memory actually gets a little blurry, is because we made so many trips to the arcades down the years. I'm sure my memory timeline is somewhat distorted, so I'm not entirely sure of when certain games came out, but I then remember playing the likes of, you know, I remember the likes of Afterburner and Double Dragon and Dragon's Lair being new arcade games at the time, so I guess that's probably around the mid-80s, I guess, slightly later. But I mean, I'm sure there's loads of classics that I'm actually currently forgetting as well, but I seem to be remembering more and more as I think back, and I do love that rush of nostalgia when you do remember a classic. You know, it's a memory that's laid dormant for years and suddenly comes back to life again. I mean, my visits to the arcades really went through cycles, I guess. There was a phase where I went with my mum and my brother, but once I'd reached the age of about 16, I actually started to hang around the arcades with my mates on a Saturday afternoon. The arcades were still very much alive in the mid-90s as the, you know, the SNES and the Mega Drive for consoles and the Amiga and the ST, I guess, were the machines of choice for the home, but they still really didn't meet up to the quality of the arcade machine. This era of the arcade for me You know, being about 16 was really about games like Daytona. You know, that music is still permanently imprinted on my brain. Sega Rally, you know, Point Blank, Virtua Cop, also things like Mad Dog McCree. And of course, there was that huge explosion in fighting games like, you know, Mortal Kombat, Killer Instinct, although that was more on the later ones, I guess. And of course, the one and only Street Fighter 2. The arcades along South and Seafront really were a magical place for me. I mean, I hadn't actually been there for a few years until I recently took my son down there to play some games. You know, as the Retro Asylum team recently found out when they did their great arcade hunt, they're sadly no longer the magical place they once were. I mean, you know, looking at it, I guess this has to do with the fact that the home system has caught up with and overtaken the quality of arcade machines. So people no longer need to venture to them to play quality games. They can do that at home, and, you know, online you can speak to your friends and do all that from the comfort of your own home now. I guess suits people like me that work and have families and don't get the opportunity to just sit around my mate's house playing games anymore, I guess. I mean, I mentioned Street Fighter 2 a moment ago. I was lucky also that the sweet shop that was about 2 minutes walk from my house actually had this in there, so I'd go straight there after school and join the queue of people there waiting to play it. That shop must have made some serious money from having that machine in there, I tell you. I think I've also just remembered actually that one of the local fish and chip shops also had one of the original Asteroids machines in it, but that must have been a long time ago. It must have been early 80s, because I know I worked in there in the 90s and it had long gone by then. But in terms of my home gaming, I remember some time in the early 80s, my memory's a little cloudy here, my dad got me and my brother an Atari 2600 between us for Christmas. I actually still have that same machine in it, and it still works. It's the wood grain version with the switches on it. I can remember sitting around and playing with my brother for hours and hours on classics like Super Breakout or Kangaroo. I think it was called Combat Game Cartridge. It was the game that had the tanks and the planes on it, you know, and sometimes they'd be invisible and they'd only be visible when you shot. And I just remember that game being such a good game, and I'm gonna have to dig that out and play that with my son because it was so playable and enjoyable. From then on, really, my brother and I kind of split on our gaming preferences. I stayed on consoles and he kind of went into computers. He owned a Spectrum Plus 2, I think it was. Oh, no, I think he must have had a 48K before that as well, actually. Then went on to a VIC 20, or possibly had that before. Again, my memory's a bit cloudy here. Then he moved on quite quickly to the Commodore 64, then to an Atari ST, and then an Amiga. So while I never owned any of those computers myself, I did spend many hours watching in awe of my brother playing these different games. I got the odd go here and there, but not as much as I'd liked. So when the Retro Asylum team are talking Spectrum or Commodore, my memories are somewhat vague. I mean, I remember Amiga more than the Spectrum stuff. Some of the Spectrum stuff I remember, like the Dizzy games and things like that, but only the real kind of popular games I remember, unfortunately. I mean, in terms of consoles that I've owned after the 2600, I think my first console of my own was the Sega Master System, the original version. Struggling to remember what games I actually had, though. I definitely had Vigilante, possibly a plane game, G-Lock or something like that, but I do remember my dad buying me one Christmas, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. It was kind of his attempt at introducing a little education into my game playing, I guess. Sure, I must have had more games than that, but I'm really struggling to remember. From there, I think I must have sold my Master System for a Mega Drive as an upgrade. I mean, back then there was no eBay or anything, so whenever you wanted to sell something, you had to take an ad out in the local paper. I think at that point I always sold to upgrade, because obviously I didn't really have too much money of my own. Games I remember having for the Mega Drive are things like Sonic, and I remember Quackshot being a really good, enjoyable game. Whether or not that actually stands up these days, I'll need to check. But Streets of Rage was obviously a big favourite of mine. But then again, I sold my Mega Drive to upgrade to the new Nintendo console out there, the SNES. I really did love my SNES, to be honest with you, and I had quite a few games for it. But recently, after finding some old computer magazines from the SNES days and seeing the price of them, I don't know how I could actually afford them. Sometime around this time, I think I also had a Game Gear as well somehow. Got it for my birthday, I think, but I'm pretty sure I must have sold that to pay for SNES games. I think also I had a Game Boy then. Well, I did have a Game Boy then because I've recently found it, but I don't really have too many games for that, to be honest. Tetris was a favourite, obviously. I do remember having a real stroke of luck, though, when I had my SNES, because we went on a holiday to Jersey with my family around the time the first screenshots were hitting magazines of the conversion of Street Fighter 2 for the SNES. And I walked into a game shop in the High Street, and I actually found they sold US versions of SNES games, and they actually had Street Fighter 2 there for an amazingly low price, because Jersey that back then was VAT free, so I'm pretty sure you could buy the import version of Street Fighter 2 in the back of magazines at the time for about £65-75, but I'm pretty sure I paid about £30 for mine at the time. I think I did buy some other games while I was there as well. I think like the Universal Converter that allowed me to play the import games. I think I must have had this 2 or 3 months before it came out officially in the UK. I mean, to say my mates were jealous was an understatement. In fact, I had so many people over playing this game that some even brought friends of theirs round. In fact, at one point, this copy of Street Fighter 2 was actually stolen from me by a friend of a friend. Thankfully, I managed to get that back within about 2 hours, but I mean, that's another story, really. I think I then missed, really, the next generation of gaming as I discovered beer and girls and going out and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with that. And I don't think I owned another console until the PlayStation 1. I mean, I remember a mate of mine paying £325 for his, and about a week later they dropped it to about £199 or something. He was slightly annoyed. It's probably an understatement. I think my brother also managed to chip my PS1 and copied me a load of games for it. One included in this at the time was an odd named game that I never really tended to play. Then while reading a computer magazine some months later, I actually saw a preview of this awesome looking game called Metal Gear Solid. The odd title sounded familiar somehow, and I checked my pile of copied games, and yes, there it was. How he managed to get hold of this so early, I don't know, but I had that, and then I actually enjoyed playing it. I think I then moved on to the PlayStation 2 when a then-girlfriend bought me one for Christmas, and I still have that console, but not that girlfriend. Out of the latest gen consoles that I own, I think I've got a PS3, a Wii, and my actual favourite, which is the Xbox 360. But I mean, recently I really started collecting as many retro consoles as I can afford and find. In a short space of time, I've managed to collect quite a few. I think I've got quite a few different versions of the PS1, the Slim, the audiophile model as well, 3 Mega Drives, 1 NTSC, 1 Original, 1 Mega Drive 2, a SNES, a Game Boy Advance, and a Game Boy Advance SP. I think I recently got a Turbo Graphics, Neo Geo Pocket Color. I think I've got about 3 GameCubes now, Nintendo 64, and most recently actually a Sega Master System, so I've gone right back to my roots there. I'm still after classics like the Lynx and, you know, the Jaguar, Atari Lynx and Atari Jaguar. I've got up to kind of done a deal with someone I work with for a Sega Saturn, but I'm not getting that until a couple of weeks' time, I think, when he brings it down. But I think I'm willing to wait and try and find good deals for the rest of them now. I think I've gone a bit mad recently. I'm buying all these things, and I think the wife is getting too happy with the lack of space that I've now created by having all these boxes full of things everywhere. We've recently moved as well, so I've yet to get a proper setup in the lounge to actually display these things properly, so it's all work in progress for me. But I think I've probably rambled on for far too long now, so hopefully you've enjoyed listening to my gaming backstory, and hopefully I'll get an opportunity to ramble on to you all again. But for now, goodbye, people, and thanks for listening.
I guys, I really hope you really enjoyed that, because I thought that was fantastic. I thought Captain Blood 7 really sort of like told a great story on how he got into gaming. So many things that I could relate to. And this is the sort of thing we're looking for as a co-host. We're looking for, you know, an intelligent story, nostalgia. We're talking about retro game knowledge. So we want you guys to addition. We want you guys to have a broad range of knowledge on loads of different systems, because, you know, it'll be really, really helpful when we do a weekly show. So yeah, before I round the show up, guys, I want to do give a few special thanks to a few people. Actually, I want to give a special thanks to our sponsors. Now, we've got a couple of sponsors, and without our sponsors, we couldn't do the show. Basically, the show costs £35 a month to do, because the amount of downloads, the amount of bandwidth, and all that other stuff that I'm not too sure on, but it costs £35 a month, because we get up to 1,500 to 2,000 downloads a week, basically. So yeah, this month's sponsors were Anthony Ogden, so thank you so much, mate. I really, really appreciate that. He's been sponsoring us now for the last couple of months. You know, really, really appreciate it. Matt Dinaris, our own co-host, he sponsored us. Foggy, another one of our co-hosts. And Mr. Sid has sponsored as well, so all added up to £35. Fantastic. Now, speaking about Mr. Sid, I want to give him a big special shout out, actually, because Mr. Sid is the latest member of the Retro Asylum team. Mr. Sid, basically, he's the guy that is doing all the news stories on the front page. He's doing loads of amazing reviews. So big special thanks to Mr. Sid. You've done an amazing job with this, mate. Really have. Now, the last thing I'd like to say, guys, is give a big sort of special thanks to a few more people, like Dino Dini, who was our guest on episode 37. If you haven't listened to that podcast, listen to it. It was fantastic. One of my favorite episodes we've had, and that was just part one. So Matt Dinaris did an amazing interview on that, so give that another listen to. And yeah, I want you guys to leave us some iTunes reviews. Your iTunes reviews really motivates us. It really helps us out. It really helps us get noticed. Leave us your feedback. 5 stars would be appreciated. Would be great to get your feedback. I'm rambling on now, guys. I'll see you next time. And please, please, please audition for the Retro Asylum podcast co-host position. See you next time. Goodbye.